but the sermon title this morning is not meant to be autobiographical. Although, if the shoe fits, right? But this is actually the third sermon in a series that I've been preaching, and I haven't said too much about it being a series, so I want to say a word about that. These passages I'm preaching on during Lent are all stories in which a main character uses the phrase, "Here I am." And in Hebrew, the phrase is hineni, meaning literally, here I am. And it's what one says when one is called upon. When God calls Abraham to ask for his beloved son in sacrifice, Abraham responds, here I am. When his son Isaac, though, also calls Abraham, and just getting his attention as a child will do 1,000 times a day, Dad, Abraham also responds, here I am. And years later in the story, when Isaac himself is an old man and he calls to his son Esau, it's not Esau, but Jacob who answers, here I am, impersonating his older favored brother. In those kinds of situations, when we are called to by a parent or a child, we would probably say, yes. Every language has a phrase for that situation. A phrase that means, I hear you, I am available to you, I'm listening, I'm present for you. In Thailand, actually, there's a thing you can say which otherwise really is untranslatable. It has almost no meaning except you use it in that situation. And it's a different thing for men and for women. When a woman's name is called, she says, Ka. And when a man's name is called, he says, Kapong. Which always sounded so much more substantial to me, so much more elaborate than just the one female syllable, ka. And to American ears, the woman's response sounded as though the woman is just barely there, right? And we used to joke that American women in Thailand suffered from kapom envy. In biblical Hebrew, at least biblical Hebrew, the thing that you say in this situation is, here I am, hineni. And in the Bible, that phrase traces the relationships of the biblical characters. It tells you who they claim to be and whom they are willing to be for. In this morning's story, Moses rather famously answers the voice of God that calls his name with the same phrase. My guess is that the author of the hymn that we heard so amazingly this morning from choir and Max and Bells, Here I Am, Lord, I think the author of that hymn was probably thinking of the Moses story in particular. Though strictly speaking, when Moses hears God calling his name and Moses says, Hineni, he probably really doesn't know what all he's in for. He hears his own name called, and God always seems to call the name twice, as if it's not super easy to get the person's attention. Right, like a mother calling her child in for dinner. Moses, Moses, God says. And Moses answers, here I am. But all he really means at that point is, yes. Right, what is it, disembodied voice from heaven that I'm not even really sure I just heard? Did you want to say something to me? Certainly in that hineni, Moses is not saying, here I am, if you want somebody to risk life and limb and be your mouthpiece with Pharaoh and announce several hideous plagues and take the blame when the Egyptians lose their firstborn sons and then put up with a whole lot of flack from the Hebrew people while leading them aimlessly around in the desert for 40 years before not reaching the promised land with them. If that's the job description, look no further. Here I am. I'm your man. Is not saying any of that. He knows nothing of what God wants or what he, Moses, is in for. If he did, he would probably put his fingers in his ears and start loudly singing, right? Moses does not know what he's in for. He just heard his name, and being polite, he offers a response. Here I am. And in fact, he's only here at this point, this spot in front of the burning bush, where God's voice is audibly calling his name. He's only here because he saw something on fire, a burning bush, and he was curious, so he turned aside to get a better look. Moses turns a aside from the direction in which he was taking his sheep, because he sees a bush burning in the wilderness and he wants to get closer. Some people might have wanted to walk quickly in the exact opposite direction with their herd of flammable sheep. Some shepherds would have been thinking, I don't know what's going on with that bush, but it does not look entirely safe. But curiosity is a powerful thing. Curiosity, it may have killed the cat, but it also seems here to have set off a chain of events that ends up liberating the Hebrew people from slavery. Curiosity can be the opening note in a song of praise, because to be amazed, to be awed and inspired, to have that wow feeling when you see that the bush is burning but it's not consumed, you have to first have the curiosity that makes you turn aside. Moses turns aside, we're told, to see this bush that burns but doesn't burn up. Probably Moses had a plan about where he and his sheep were going that day, how much time they would have to do it before dark, and how much of the way was with water or without water, and how long the sheep would put up with being driven without water. If we tried to translate Moses into modern times, he'd be driving the company car from one meeting to another on the interstate, 70 miles an hour, seeing something interesting, something weird, something burning by the side of the road. If there were just a bush burning, though, he probably wouldn't have seen it. It's hard to imagine what he'd have to see over there in modern times in order to stop the car, to get off at the exit, to turn aside. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I was driving on Lancaster Road past Villanova, and as I'm going under the Blue Route, I see up on the ramp to the Blue Route that there's this vigorously billowing plume of thick black smoke. Definitely something on fire, and probably a car. All I can see is the smoke, though. I can't see what's generating it. I did my best to look, and the traffic was very slow because everybody else was doing the same thing, but I didn't stop my car. I didn't turn aside. And to this day, I don't know what it was or who it involved. We're just not a culture that promotes turning aside only for curiosity's sake. But Moses turned aside. He took a back road. He stopped when he saw this burning bush. And maybe he wonders when he sees that it's not being consumed, is it some kind of magic trick? Is it a new kind of fuel? And incidentally, if the burning bush were a new kind of fuel, it would be a kind we could use a lot more of right now. A fuel that could burn but not burn up. We'd be getting millions of miles to the gallon. But it's not just in the world of rising gas prices and global warming that the physics of the burning bush would come in handy. You know that expression, you can't have your cake and eat it too? I think I was in my 30s before I finally got a grip on what that expression meant. It didn't make any sense to me when I first heard it. You either have the cake, nicely decorated, looking delicious on your plate, making people jealous that you have cake and they don't, or you eat the cake and then it's gone, right? You can't do both. The act of eating the cake brings an end to the wonderful thing that the cake is. As somebody with a major sweet tooth, this expression speaks to me on a deep level. And it says a great deal, it seems to me, about life. You have to choose between having money in the bank, let's say, which is always a nice thing. It makes you feel secure. It makes you feel powerful and free. But you have to choose between having money in the bank and spending the money on all those wonderful things that we dream about. We all long for free time. But what good is free time except to do things in? And if you're doing things, then the time isn't free anymore. If money or time or energy were a burning bush, we could use it for whatever we wanted to buy or to do, and it would still be there. It wouldn't be used up. We could burn up money. We could go through it like water, give it all away even, without ending up penniless. We could do all the things we wanted to do, work and play and travel and volunteer and hang out, and still have plenty of hours left in the day. If life were like the burning bush, we could be a lot more generous all the way around. And we are we burn, if we produce light for others to see by, or warmth for cold hands, we have to use things up to do it. Some of us use up ourselves, and the Gerasene demoniac is a great example of this. Some of us communicate our own "here I am" to the world by hurting ourselves, bruising ourselves with stones in 100 different ways. The demoniac, before he is healed, is less like the burning bush and more like a tree struck by lightning. He is turning to ashes himself and threatening to burn up everything around him. As a species, we are also not unlike the Gerasene demoniac, and we are nothing like the burning bush. No creature has ever used up as much of what God created as has the hungry human being. To build our civilizations, to discover electricity, mass production, medicine, computer technology, we destroy so much. Animals, whole nations of people, places, plants. We have managed even to break the sky, to put a hole in the layer of ozone that used to protect the planet from the sun. Human beings are like a forest fire, brilliant where we are and leaving a path of destruction wherever we have been. Maybe Moses goes to investigate the bush because it is not like human beings. He looks and he sees something that produces heat and light without consuming everything around it. Can there be such a thing? A thing that is lighting up its place in the world but doesn't lose itself? A fire, a light, and a warmth that burns without destroying. Something, it turns out, like God. Moses is still looking at this bizarre phenomenon, the thing that burns but doesn't destroy even itself, when he hears God calling his name. And maybe he answers, "Here I am," because the burning bush distracts him enough that he forgets to be afraid. Afraid of what God wants from him, afraid of what God has to say to him. Or maybe on some level, this revelation of the burning bush has kind of sold him on God. Not just because it's strange and intriguing and miraculous, but specifically because it burns without being consumed. It illuminates the world without either being used up or using up its surroundings in the process. That, Moses may be thinking, is something I have to be a part of. Something unlike any aspect of the human world. Something beyond and enduring and entirely positive. Something I want to know. Now, a minute later, Moses will protest that he's not the right guy for the job. He can't do it. He doesn't even know who God is. Right? Whom shall I say sent me? He's going to ask God. But in the moment when he answers God's call and he declares himself present, listening, alive to God's word, at that moment, he has just come to believe that there can be light and warmth without destruction. There can be powers harnessed and nurtured without being enslaved. And he is ready to be part of that project. He is ready to say yes to God's voice. He's ready, although he has no idea what for. He is ready, as we all need to be ready, to be present to God's will for the world. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? God, our creator and our escort through the centuries of history, you call to us in so many voices, through so many visions, through the ordinary and the supernatural. You call to us in the burning bush and in the unknown voice. We ask that you will give us the courage and the insight and the ears to hear. Give us the power and the presence to say yes, to say, "Here I am." We ask that you will help us to find our way, find our calling, that you will direct our path, turn us aside when we need to stop, when we need to go a different direction. that you will always be revealing yourself to us. For we pray for a world that is in desperate need of liberators and leadership, in desperate need of a fuel that will burn without destroying. We ask for your guidance and your strengthening of our faith that there can be such a thing, that your presence in the world is meant to illuminate, to warm, to gather, to reveal, without consuming, without destroying. Help us as the body of Christ to be that presence in our world, to be your entirely beneficial presence and body in our communities, in our families. Help us to be the non-anxious and non-destructive, positive, feeding, and nurturing presence that our world so desires. We pray all these things in the name of your Son. Amen.